It's always party time when Brian Haney is with us, the voice of the Jayhawks, every Thursday here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency there in Beloit. Brian, I don't know how you party, how you have a good time, but I just want to say I hope you are smarter than Devin Williams, the NL Reliever of the Year last year for the Brewers. As they clinched their division championship, they partied, they had a good time. He got drunk, he got upset at something, perhaps a wall, and punched the wall with his pitching hand, and now he's out for the playoffs. So please tell me that you don't party like that, dude.
No kidding, man. That's crazy. You know, the Braves had a young rookie phenom pitcher do the same thing in May, and it was after coming out of a rough inning, and he punches the dugout bench, misses 3 months. You'd think these guys would realize what their moneymaker is, to be a little more careful. You know, I when I'm working out at the gym, I make sure to never drop the barbell on my throat, because that would be it, you know. And so it's just funny to see these guys that are making millions of dollars because of their hand and their arm put it at risk seemingly regularly. So, yeah, we've seen a few of those. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, yeah. I worried about the throat area as well as a few other areas on my body in regards to the barbell. So, yeah, but the throat is the high-paying part of your body when it comes to being the play-by-play voice of the KU Jayhawks. Man, oh, man. Man, that guy's got to – he let his team down. That's the bad thing. That could really hurt them come playoff time. As far as I know, no KU football players have celebrated or punched a wall or anything like that. You know, there were some good things that came out of the game at Duke. At least I thought so. I was watching the game, and I mean, offensively, 530 yards. The rookie, or not rookie, but freshman Devin Neal with 100 yards. Had a big run, touchdown run. Torrey Lachlan had a couple touchdown runs. I mean, yeah, Bean made a mistake on an interception that was costly. But the offense, man, it's been a while since seeing an offense purr like that for KU.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think in a season that, you know, all along we've said how young this team is. And, you know, if you win a couple of games, if you find a way to win three, it'd be a heck of a year. But just to compete most weeks, this was exactly what we needed to see in terms of a bounce back from the Baylor second half, where you got blown out 31-0 and didn't show a pulse, couldn't sustain drives. Defense was going right back out on the field. Now the script flipped, and the offense was scoring at times at will, and it was the defense that couldn't get off the field, unfortunately. But just to see that progress 1 week to the next, to see some guys really develop some confidence, and the continued rapport that's developing between Jason Bean and his receivers, I mean, it's something that needs to be mentioned and can't be undersold or understated, that, you know, he didn't get here until late spring, and he was there for spring ball, don't get me wrong, but didn't have a chance to start working with his coaches until this fall camp, the current coaches, that is. And, you know, he's having a chance to develop with receiving core units like Trevor Wilson and Lawrence Arnold and Pommy Lassiter a little bit over the summer months. But really, all the progress you've seen of him has come from August 1 up to now. And so with each passing week that the O-line gets a little bit better and he has a little more time to throw, with each passing week that he gets a little more chemistry with those three wideouts I mentioned and several others, you know, that could be prominent pass catchers later in their careers, it's going to make him better and better, and he's going to settle in. And I know he had his first two picks, but in a game like that, high-scoring game, you know, eventually you're going to start to make a mistake or two. But to see him with the vertical passing game kind of unshackled a bit, you know, we wondered, when are they going to take some shots downfield? He threw some beautiful deep balls, and obviously Trevor Wilson had one of the most remarkable catches I've ever seen. I told him on the airplane afterwards, son, that's the best catch I've ever had the chance to call. And by the time we landed, it was the number two play on SportsCenter's top 10. So that was pretty cool. But I just feel like, you know, you have to understand that there's going to be growing pains when you're this young, but also when your QB1 didn't win the job until the last week of the preseason and hadn't been working with his quarterback coach or his receivers really at length, you know, until the last 8 weeks. That means his growth, you know, learning curve, you know, could shoot pretty high, pretty fast, just with all the margin for growth and improvement that's there. And then just imagine where he'll be at a year from now, having had a chance to work in the system for a full season. So we're pretty excited coming off of that one. And we know it's going to be a daunting task at Iowa State this week against a club that was preseason number 7. But I think if Kansas can you know, sustain some momentum this week and do some positive things in all three phases of the game. Then you return home and you have maybe your most winnable game of the rest of the season next week on homecoming versus Texas Tech. And so I think just keep building on some of those positives from last week and keep putting yourself in position to compete. And that's what this Jayhawk team looks to do as we now get exclusively into league play.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each Thursday on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them today at 738-5701. There was a play in the game in the first quarter, an interception, and more times than not, that's a pick six down the sideline. The quarterback caught, I forgot who it was that made an interception for KU, the corner.
Lamelo Dobson. Yeah.
Okay, so he got caught by the quarterback, and Miller, as you know him, and I were watching the game, and he said, man, he doesn't look that fast. And all of a sudden we saw how fast the quarterback was. Like, well, maybe there he had the angle and he's got really good speed, the quarterback. The point is not to pick on the kid that intercepted it. He made a play. But many times in that situation, you score a touchdown. In this case, it didn't happen. And then KU ended up settling for a field goal. And you're like, oh, man, this is old KU football. They're going to miss the field goal. And sure as heck, the field goal was missed by a wide margin to the right. And the reason I bring this story up is not to take a shot at KU football, but to actually compliment KU football and where it's headed. Because I think in other years, if that happened, this baby snowballs. And I think KU's in big-time trouble. Instead, they regrouped and actually led 24-21 at halftime. So it was there was a positive, then a negative. That could have easily turned in a lot of negatives, and I thought it turned into positives that we haven't seen in years past.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think there's a couple of plays like that in that game where you go back and look just how close Kansas was to completely changing the dynamic of the game and maybe winning it. When you're up 27-21, Gavin Potter has Holmberg in his grasp, but he went in up high instead of at the waist to take him down, and they get the pass off and they spring it for a big play that sets up a score. Otherwise, it would have been punting time after a huge sack, and you know, maybe we see Kansas ride that momentum after at that point taking a 6-point lead early third quarter into a 2-score lead, and now you're playing from behind if you're the home team and you're playing with pressure and all that. And you know, that's a lot of ifs and buts. I get it. But the point is, they were a whisker and an eyelash away from a few different plays and making this a very different game. Now, Devin Neal gets caught from behind, and they have to settle for a field goal to go up 27-21. You know, maybe later in his career, they don't track him down. Once he's had a year in the strength and conditioning system here to build on his burst and his ability to have some stamina there on the 60-yard sprint down the sideline and not get caught. But the Dotson play, you know, I feel for the kid, and everybody, I'm sure, in the film room was giving him grief that the quarterback tracked it down.
Oh, yeah.
But until you're in that spot, it's kind of like Daniel Jones, and I made this comment on the air, the New York Giants quarterback, who coincidentally was a Duke quarterback.
Yes.
Do you remember the play last season?
Oh, yeah.
When he had an 80-yard breakaway to the end zone, and he was running out of wind,
yep.
And he was so wide open, and then he just tripped over his own 2 feet. You know, you always think if you're going to get a chance at a pick six as a DB and you've never had one, you always think, oh, well, it's just, you know, a foot race to the end zone down the sideline. I'm fast, you know, piece of cake.
Yeah.
But when you've been running for 30 or 40 yards and your eyes get big and the goal line's drawing near, but also here comes this defender,
yeah.
You know, subconsciously you slow down, you look back, and it's kind of like when you're driving in the car and you look over your shoulder at something, the wheel kind of goes with you. Once you start looking back at that guy, you don't realize it, but in most cases, you're slowing down or your body's, you know, tilting a bit. And next thing you know, they're gaining steam. And bless his heart, you know, if he had 10 more chances to run that thing to the end zone, I think he probably beats him all 10 times. But when it's your first time, it was a huge play. And I think it's astute that you bring it up, because if we score on that, even though we did, you know, come back, as you said, to take the 24-21 lead, maybe it's 31-21 at the half. Maybe they don't even get 21 because yeah. Kansas has played from out in front. So those are the types of things where, yes, he made a break on the ball and he showed his instincts. And Coach Leipold told us last night, Dotson felt like he was going to pick based on some stuff in the film study throughout the week that he was getting in terms of reads on Holmberg. He just had a feeling that was going to be his day. And sure enough, early in the game, he makes a break on a ball and makes it happen. But the fact that they didn't quite complete it shows we're not quite there yet in a few key areas, but we're knocking on the door. We're on the brink, and that obviously is a lot better than what you would have seen for much of last season, and so that's exciting.
It is. KU at Iowa State coming up this Saturday, kickoff at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5:30 on Z96.3 The Lake. It is hard to believe, but we can talk basketball. It is late night at the Fog tomorrow evening. You want to fill people in on what's taking place tomorrow?
Yeah, well, obviously it's our annual preseason tip-off event that in recent years has always featured some sort of musical act. I remember my first year back, it was rapper Tech N9ne. We've had 2 Chainz. We've had rappers that don't have numbers in their names, like Snoop Dogg and Run DMC. And obviously the Snoop Dogg performance was somewhat infamous, and we don't have to go there. But Run DMC is this year's act, Wade, what are we separated by? 3 or 4 years?
Let's see. I think 3, right? How old are you?
3 years, okay. I'm 41.
Yeah, so it's probably 3.5 years, I believe.
And Gurley is like 46, 47. And it's amazing how just 5 years in pop culture, you know, you can miss out on something entirely to where he identifies it with it and I don't. And that's kind of how Run DMC is. I mean, I'm aware. Mm-hmm. I know about Tricky. I know about Walk This Way and all that. But it's definitely one of those deals where my partner will probably be singing more than I will. But I love it that they went out and found another, you know, fun act. It doesn't necessarily cater to the student body as much, but it is something that'll be safer than the last one, provide some energy and some hype. But more than anything, we get to see this uber-talented, super-deep, Bill Self-coached KU men's basketball team that I think the big question of the preseason and the early season is, you know, there's only one basketball to go around, and there's 13 guys that all deserve, you know, a crack at this rotation. And as I've told you on previous reports, I really feel like while the starting five is super talented, it's not one of his best starting fives, but 6 through 13 on the roster may run as deep as he's ever had, just in terms of the caliber of talent when you get down to 11, 12, 13 on the depth chart, which would be your, you know, 6th, 7th, and 8th guys off the bench, who in most cases aren't going to play.
Yeah.
And once you get to January, they're really not going to play. And all those guys right now, Wade, as we look at it, and obviously roles can change, but all those guys are top 80 recruits, like four-star guys that, you know, were heavily sought after. But that's just how deep Kansas is. After Ochai comes back, you add in a couple of grad transfers, you already have some nice sophomore juniors developing within your program, and suddenly I think the head coach has his work cut out for him in finding enough opportunities to keep some of these guys happy. And, you know, I think if anybody can do it, it's Coach Self in terms of keeping these guys engaged, even if they don't have major minutes on a nightly basis. But in this day and age where guys leave immediately if they feel like there's not a role for them, or, you know, get disgruntled and hop in the portal as quick as you can say rock chalk. I mean, we saw it with the former Baylor quarterback who went to Utah, and after he lost his starting job in week 2, he was out the door. I'm talking about Charlie Brewer.
Yeah.
I mean, who transfers after 2 games, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's going to happen to Kansas. I'm saying the opposite, that Bill Self is the type of guy that'll find a way to keep everybody engaged, even if only 9 or 10 are seeing the floor. But that's how deep of a team we're talking about. And that's exciting because in recent seasons, we've seen depth tested by injury, by a couple of cases of suspension or something like that. You know, this is a team that should be able to weather just about any storm because they are way deeper. But I think the key is growing up some of those young kids when they're not getting major game minutes. But the best thing they could do would be to practice against David McCormick and Ochai and Remy Martin on a daily basis. They'll certainly get more out of those minutes on the practice court as opposed to what they'd be up against in November on the real court. So hopefully, you know, that keeps Kansas trending upward and backs up why this is a preseason number 2 team in the country. But I, for one, am most excited to see Remy Martin tomorrow night. I'm most excited to see, you know, some of these other new faces and fresh pieces that mix in and hopefully mesh well with the previous roster. We know what we've got in Ochai. We know what we've got with David McCormick. I do want to see, you know, Christian Brown, if he's stepping forward into more of an alpha, give-me-the-ball type role. Not that there's a ton of shots to go around for that, but I think by his junior season, you know, we should see a guy that feels more mature and confident to be the guy in a given moment if it was asked of him. And then I want to see DeJuan Harris's progress. I think that we know what we have in Mitch, but DeJuan's one of those guys that, as you look to bench options, could make a big jump from last season to this season, and so I'm pumped about that. The rest of it, you know, you either know what you have or that you're completely green with brand new faces. And so, to me, that's what I'm looking at for tomorrow night is seeing some of those new guys, but most notably seeing a guy that averaged over 20 a game a year ago at Arizona State that was the number one transfer in the country, and we got him, Remy Martin. How does he fit in as we tip things off in the fall?
Well, I'm right between age-wise between you and Gurley, so I'm kind of the bridge between you two, and you just need to ask him who his favorite Burt Reynolds movie is, what his favorite Burt Reynolds movie is, and him and I might have that in common, I'm not sure. Leads us to the off-the-wall question. I was going to ask you your favorite Run DMC song, but I've altered that based on what you just told me. It's Tricky is kind of the one I always remember from Run DMC. So your off-the-wall question, Brian Haney. Who would be your ideal candidate, group, individual, to perform live Late Night in the Fog? If Brian Haney was in charge of bringing the musical act for Late Night in the Fog next year, who would it be?
Man, I love that. That's a great question. And I think that, you know, while the Snoop Dogg thing didn't go over well based on his content and some stuff that should have been vetted, at least that was a star that connected with all generations.
Yes.
You know, you've got the student body fired up because they know about the iconic rapper, and he does a lot of sampling and guest parts with up-and-comer rappers now, right?
Yeah, right.
Plus, he's just kind of a pop culture icon. I think whoever you come up with, it needs to reach, you know, all categories, whether it's the 19-year-old KU sophomore from Lenexa or the 48-year-old alum who is bringing his kids. You want a kid and family friendly, but at the same time, you want energy.
Yeah.
But it's got to be somebody that connects with all. And so I'm trying to think off the top of my head, you know, somebody that fits that similar vein to Snoop, but would do a cleaner act.
Yeah.
You can see why, to quote Run DMC, it is tricky.
Yeah. It is.
Trying to appeal to the masses there. But no, I'm going to put some thought into that because I've got a couple of ideas, but I don't know that they would certainly appeal to the younger crowd.
Yeah.
I don't know that folks of our generation would be as well versed.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they keep it clean in PC either. So it's a tough one there. But I think, you know, what we get with these for the folks that have never been there, you know, it's usually a five or a six song act. Sometimes it's a shortened version of a song that quickly transitions into another.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they're playing for an hour or anything. But the energy it provides, the hype, you know, this is the number one recruiting tool we do every year is get your, you know, big time five star candidates in the house for this. And, you know, somebody like that that would have the joint jumping, that would resonate with the recruits and the young student body, but also make it fun for the adults where they didn't feel like, what the heck is this I'm watching?
Mm-hmm.
That's the fit you got to go for. And I don't know if I have a perfect answer off the top of my head, but, I think that would be a pretty awesome angle for Kansas to take.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious. The duo that you want is Miley Cyrus and her dad. And then her dad can come out and do the achy breaky heart, and then she can do her act, which is a little risque at times. So, you know, that's the perfect scenario. And I'm kidding.
Is that partying in the USA?
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. Yeah, you'd be partying. That's right. But you're totally right. You need to relate to the younger crowd because that's going to be a good chunk of people that are going to be there. And I know just from experience, my oldest is 15, and he listens to a lot of rap music and different music, and I know nothing about the people he's talking about. And then my wife would talk about the music that we liked back when we were in college, you know, groups like Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Soundgarden, Smashing Pumpkins, and whatever else, and he has no clue about any of that. So that's the generational gap, and so obviously you wouldn't choose any of the music that he has if you want to reach everybody, and you wouldn't choose any of the music that my wife and I like because that wouldn't work with the younger audience. So that is a bit of a challenge, no doubt.
And you have to be realistic because it's not like they're going to get Bruno Mars or something, you know, to come to late night. Now, they've got some pretty big acts,
and
they have, you know, sponsors that help with the money and getting these guys in, but you can't exactly pull a Ariana Grande or something either.
Right.
So kudos to the crew that comes up with this every year because, like we said, it's not an easy fit, but I think they got a pretty good one this year. I just would expect them next year to maybe go a little bit more targeted at the student body.
It sounds like you and I will not be hired to figure out the next act. I think that's what we're basically trying to say. Hey, man, have a great call.
Wait,
go ahead.
I said you're spot on. Completely.
Hey, man, have a great call coming up on Saturday. We'll be listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, bud. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. Brian Haney. One of the best in the business, Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.